The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We're delighted on The Last Word to be involved again this year in the Unpussed Irish Book Awards. We are going to be meeting many of the authors in the months to come. We're going to have our own Reader's Choice category again in the awards, which will be held in Dublin towards the end of November. Loads of details coming of how you can get involved. But one of the things that Unpussed has decided to do, adjacent to the awards, is to identify 20 exciting Irish fiction authors whose work is going to be promoted in the run-up to this year's awards ceremony. The criteria is that these people who are Irish born or Irish citizens or Irish resident haven't had more than 2 pieces of fiction published to date, although we expect way more from them in the future. So we have on the phone line with us Ferdia Lennon. In studio we're joined by Michelle Gallen and Fina Scarlett. Fina, if I can start with you, what have you had published to date?
Yeah, hi Matt. My debut novel, Boys Don't Cry, was published in April 2021 and I have a new novel coming out now in February.
Of next year?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it called, or have you a title on it yet? Yeah. Are you allowed to say?
I am, yeah. It's called May All Your Skies Be Blue.
Okay. And how is that writing a second novel, having had one published? Does it make it easier or does it set a benchmark that you feel, I got to do this one differently and better?
Yeah, I found the second novel incredibly difficult. That whole second album syndrome was very, very real for me. And I don't know why. I think I just got too much into my head. I found it incredibly difficult. It took me about 4 years to write this one. So there's quite a gap between the first and the second one. Yeah, so it was a struggle, but I'm just really, really hoping readers will connect with it, that they won't feel the struggle in the writing.
What about you, Michelle? What have you had published to date?
I had Big Girls Small Town come out in 2020 and then Factory Girls came out in 2022. And I hope I'm right with my dates because it just feels...
That's the COVID era. Nobody can remember dates properly.
Absolutely. My book came out the week before lockdown. So I had the advantage of actually doing in-person events and it was just an amazing buzz. But then literally after I finished my last book launch, I drove back with my kids, my husband in the car, and they didn't even go back to school, you know. So, yeah, and then I wrote the second book in lockdown. So it just feels like that really strange period of time. Yeah, very hard to kind of put it together in my head.
Both of your novels are being adapted for television. Do you write novels to get them adapted to television?
God, no, but I think I was raised by a family who say and do things as if they're being recorded for TV. Yeah. So I very much come from a place where there are so many, it's really fast moving conversations, very fast witted and kind of, you could put a camera on my family and be perfectly happy watching them.
Ferdia Lennon, tell us about what you've had published to date, please.
Yeah, so my debut novel, Glorious Exploits, came out earlier this year, I think January 2024. So, one book and released this year.
Okay. Why do you write? Ferdia, I'll start with you. What is it and why do you do it as a full-time occupation?
I think for the TV adaptations. Why do I write? It's a funny one. I think it comes from two things. One, just loving reading. You know, ever since I was a kid, I've been a voracious reader. And then slowly it dawning on me that that might be something I would like to do. So it comes from like a love of narrative, both mainly kind of reading, but also cinema. And then I remember trying, just like sitting down and kind of writing a short story, etc., with no great ambitions. And then slowly but surely, something that began as like, you know, a half an hour here or there, I felt started to become, you know, compelled to do it. It became, yeah, just part of my life. And then, you know, the ambition grows to write longer stories, maybe write a novel and hope that, you know, one day it might get published.
Yeah. Is it important to you that other people read what you've written?
It is and it isn't. Sometimes I'll write things like, and I'll be perfectly happy to with no intention of them ever being published, or I wouldn't even need to show them to anyone. So it is and it isn't. I think even if you told me that no one would ever publish another word that I wrote, I think I would still write. However, when you're writing with the idea of an audience, I find that also quite exciting. I find that kind of motivating in a sense, because there's the added element of communication with a reader, even if you don't actually ever meet them. So yeah, I think I would write either way, but it is important to me, the idea of a reader, having said that.
I'm asking these questions because I suspect a lot of our listeners might have their own ambitions, that they have stories that they want to tell, but may not have the confidence to actually go and write them and to show them to others. And both of you in studio are nodding at me as I say that. Why are you nodding, Fina?
I just think, like, I came to writing later and I don't even know where that idea of I wanted to be a writer came from. But like Ferdia, I was always such a huge reader, adore a story in all its forms. And for anybody out there who has the urge to write, I would just say to sit down and start. And a lot of the time it's fear and you feel like you need permission to write. Like, you don't, just sit down, set yourself a timer, even for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just see what comes out on the page. And as Ferdia said, like, when you start writing, you're writing for yourself and for the joy of it. You know, it's so wonderful when your book comes out and it's connecting with readers. But when you're writing there to connect with the written word and what's important to you. So anyone out there who would love to write, I would just say, off you go, sit down and start.
And Michelle, for you, the motivation?
Storytelling, and it's because I grew up in a family that had a really strong oral storytelling tradition. You know, that's what I learned. That's how I learned about my family's history and my community's history. And it's how I learned that you could be really, really funny and really, really emotional and really dark, and how you can move people. Like when I first learned storytelling, I was the audience, right? I was listening to my aunts and uncles, my parents, my grandparents all telling stories, and you could see how those lines land for people. And then I love the way that, I've always loved that way of kind of imagining how somebody's going to respond when you say something. That's still how I kind of write. Like, I will have to write things down, but then I'm a big reader of my own stuff, as in I read it out loud and try and imagine how my family might react, or, you know, how other people would react. And that's really, I love that connection with real people. So for me, it's not just about the writing, though. It's very much that oral storytelling, too, that matters.
Because, Michelle, I've noticed looking at the list of the 20 authors, and they include a very old friend of mine, Angela Flannery, who has presented this programme in the past, and the likes of Louise Kennedy and others who've been guests on the programme, like Nisha Dolan and Nicole Flattery. Among the list of all of the people there, there's an awful lot of people who've gone to almost be taught how to write, gone to special master's courses and literature programs. Is that really needed to be a top class writer? Do you actually have to go and learn how to be a writer?
It wasn't my path. Now, I mean, I did do English literature in Trinity, but actually lost an awful lot of confidence in my own writing while I was doing the course. And I still really feel the kind of, you know, conversation, the storytelling, the crack that I have in the real world. And listening to people tell a story that can kind of hold everybody and shut everybody up. That's how I learned to do storytelling. And it's how I learned dialogue as well. And I would argue that for me, it's a really powerful and traditional way into storytelling that doesn't cost very much money at all. Get yourself a storytelling circle, or just see if you can get people to listen to you when they're out, and even at the bus stop or on the tram, one of those people.
What about Maeve Binchy? Wasn't it a career out of listening to people in the 46A bus when she was coming into Dublin City Centre? What about for you, Fina? Is this something that you have to learn?
Yeah, well, what I would say is that you absolutely do not need a master's in creative writing to write. I myself did go on to do a master's in creative writing, but like that, because I came to writing that bit later, I hadn't got an English literature degree. And for me, it was really, I wanted to devote that time to myself when I started writing. And also, I wanted to just see if I had what it took. And one thing the master's gave me, well, it really gave me confidence in my own voice as a writer. So I'd be very similar to Michelle, like a writing vernacular. And I love that sort of storytelling tradition and sitting down and listening to people tell you their stories. And I remember, it's for me, the master's was owning who you are as a writer and leaning into your strengths as a writer, and not about emulating or copying somebody else's style. So for me, it really did give me confidence and learning that there's beauty in your own writing voice.
Because Ferdia Lennon, I think you're an MA in prose fiction from the University of East Anglia. And if I'm right, is that not regarded as one of the places to go if you want to be a fiction writer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the first master's in creative writing in Britain. So it's kind of the oldest and most established. And that was great in a sense, just because of the history of it. Lots of great writers have gone there. I think, you know, Irish writers like Anne Enright, I think Paul Murray studied there as well. But I would kind of echo what Michelle and Fiona have said, is that you don't need, I think a master's can be helpful in kind of, in a way, going, this is important to me, and giving yourself the time and space to focus on it. You can learn from your professors. They might, you know, they're doing the same thing as you, or they're doing their own thing, but they've had sometimes the same kind of struggles, etc. The other students, however, you know, people have been writing great books, you know, for thousands of years before, you know, creative writing masters existed. So although it was a good thing that I did, now in retrospect, I feel like I learned more in terms of how to become a writer just from having a library card, you know, and yeah, and studying the books that I loved, and, you know, breaking them down a little bit. Why do I love this? Why is that passage so effective? Why do I find that one maybe not, it doesn't work quite so well? So I actually, they could definitely be helpful, and I wouldn't try to deter someone from doing it at all. But if you're in a position where that isn't, you know, viable, I would say that that's not a hindrance at all to becoming a good writer.
And indeed, Paul Lynch won the Booker last year without ever having gone through any of those creative writing courses. Indeed, he even managed to survive working for me for about 6 years before he became the leading fiction writer that he is. Recently, The Guardian had a piece which said, "How Ireland Became the World's Literary Powerhouse." Is Ireland a literary powerhouse now, would you believe, Ferdia?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just, almost the facts speak for themselves. I think, yeah, I think like almost in terms of like Nobel laureates and then Booker Prize winners, because you have to think of it proportionally, Ireland's got a relatively small population compared to these other nations. So I think it just is. Yeah.
Okay, Fiona, are writers allowed to be themselves, or do publishers demand that they see a female writer, so, well, we want you to be like Sally Rooney, or we want you to be like Louise Kennedy, write like them? Are you allowed to be yourself?
Oh, you're absolutely allowed to be yourself. And I think for you as a writer, you have to be your true, authentic self when you're writing, because a reader will pick up on it in an instant. If it's the first thing that will make me put down a book, if I feel that a writer isn't being true to themselves as a writer, if that makes sense. So no, never are you shaped in that way at all. I'm really grateful to my publisher, and I love the publisher that I'm with, and no, definitely would never be asked to do anything like that.
And Michelle, how important do you think is it going to be to you and to the other 20 writers who were on this Unpost Irish Book Awards list for the 2024 campaign? How hopeful are you that it'll get your books into a lot more people's hands?
And I tell you, my agent was happier than my parents this time around. So it was definitely a great thing. I think it's really good because we've kind of entered that kind of hype cycle with literature, I think. So I think years ago, you could kind of put a book out every 5 years and it would be all right and it would be considered enough. And I do think that everything's faster, everything's more furious, and you have less time sitting on the bookshelves. You have less time sitting on screens and stuff. So I personally feel the pressure to get something else out there. And, you know, if this is your dream and it's everything you ever want to do, it's difficult kind of riding the two horse thing, where you've got the nice slow horse, which would be my creativity and how I storytell. And then the kind of, you know, one that wants to go off and it's been told to, you know, go faster and win the race and get there sooner. Do you know what I mean? So I find that hard. So something like this really gives you the confidence that your voice is maybe worth taking a bit more time and the book is worth taking a bit more time on.
Thank you so much, Michelle Gallen, Fiona Scarlett and Ferdia Lennon, for being with us here on The Last Word this evening. And as I said at the outset, The Last Word is going to be very much involved again in this year's Unpost Irish Book Awards. And this is part of the campaign, the 20 exciting Irish fiction authors who will be promoted in the run-up to this year's awards.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.